It's Abu here. You're probably wondering, what's different around here? And the answer is everything. I took the last year off, not just from podcasting, but from everything. I needed a reset. Last year was one of the hardest years of my life. And as you know, life doesn't just throw one thing at a time at you. It hits you with everything all at once. I hit a mental roadblock, my business hit a wall, and then I faced an unimaginable loss of someone I deeply loved. I had a reset. I went deep, asking myself, what's wrong with me? What did I do to deserve this? I struggled with grief, with loss, with relationships, with business, and family. I was operating from a place of seeking permission. Permission to let go, permission to step back, permission to prioritize myself. And then it hit me. You don't need anyone's approval to take the next step. You don't need permission to be a CEO. But you do need the tools, the mindset, and the support to lead in a way that doesn't cost you your peace. It took me over a decade to truly figure this out. And now, I'm ready to keep going, sharing what's worked, what hasn't, and everything I'm still learning along the way. So if you're ready, and I know I am, hit subscribe, leave a review, and share this with someone who needs to hear it. Because this isn't just my journey, it's ours. Lastly, I just want to thank everyone that reached out to me over the last year just to check on me, make sure I was doing good. I truly appreciate the support, and I look forward to continue building more deep connections with you all. This is the Powered AF Podcast, a show about visionaries, high performers, and entrepreneurs, and their stories on how they push past fear, overcome imposter syndrome, and navigate through the mental roadblocks in order to achieve the highest level of success. And I'm your host, Abu Fofana. Hey, welcome back in this week's Power Chat. It's really interesting because I was recently interviewed by Katana Payne, and I'll have Katana introduce herself, and you can find her information in the show notes, actually. But I was interviewed by Katana Payne, and the interview was really, really good. So she's interviewing me. It's a Q&A, but we get into a lot of strategy. So what I decided to do was I decided to turn it into a five-part series, a five-part Power Chat series over these next few weeks. So this is going to be part one. Make sure you go find the other parts of this series because there's so many different topics that we covered that I had to split them up in order for you to really understand and get that wisdom. So in this week's Power Chat, we're going to be talking about how do I find my ideal customers online, high ticket coaching, and Facebook ads. So again, in this episode, in this Power Chat with Katana Payne, I'm being interviewed, and make sure to find the other series to this because this is part one of five Power Chat. So let's go ahead and dive into this week's Power Chat. Thanks so much, Katana Payne, for doing this. I really, really enjoyed this Q&A interview style with you. Let's dive into this week's episode.
All right, so let's start it off. So let's introduce yourself. Tell people who you are and what you do. We're not going to assume they know who Abu is. So tell them the goat you are.
What's going on, everyone? Super excited to be here. My name is Abu, for those of you that may not know who I am. And to some, I run Facebook ads. And so I started running ads at a really young age. It's probably over 12 years. I taught myself how to run ads, et cetera. But to myself and to my close friends, I'm someone that's super curious. I like learning new things. I'm always a student. And I like really helping people focusing on driving revenue and sales from day one. I'm not a, hey, build a business for 5 years and, you know, eventually you'll make sales. I'm really about how do we really reverse engineer this and start making sales as soon as possible versus in 5 years. And so that's who I am. I'm someone who is, my friends used to call me, or people used to call me, man behind the brands, right? And so I think that's a really good paraphrase as to what exactly I do. So I help people grow by using paid advertisement, developing marketing campaigns, etc.
Got you. Okay.
Yes.
So what I want to know is, why Facebook ads? You could have been the king of, I don't know, mail, right? Or letters, but why ads? What did you see, like, what attracted you to create that thing?
Yeah, so when I started in ads, and, you know, one of my mentors told me, you know, you skate where the puck is going to be. You know, go to the white space. In the white space, you'll find a lot of opportunity. So early on, this is back in 2008 when Facebook really started pushing advertisement heavily. So when I was looking around, I was like, oh, maybe this might be a thing. And so I didn't quite understand what exactly I was doing in the midst of everything until later on looking back. I could say, oh my God, I'm so glad that I actually got ahead of this thing early on. And so I think that was the first instance. The second was when I was a college student, I didn't have a lot of money. So I was trying to find the platform that had the lowest cost per acquisition per dollar. And so when I was a college student, I didn't have like this $10,000 marketing budget as I do now. You know, I had maybe $100 and 50 of it was in my business. 50 of it was like to have fun and enjoy college on the weekends. And so I had to start with a small amount of budget. And so I would test out $1 a day campaigns all the way up to $5 a day campaigns. And Facebook ads is where I saw the most success per dollar average. And so that's why I decided to double down on Facebook ads early on, like over, almost 10 years ago.
All right. That makes a lot of sense. So I heard you say two things. One, it sounds like, hey, Facebook is actually a form of advertising that's affordable. And two, you said this thing called cost per acquisition. So break that down to the person that doesn't know what that means.
Yeah. So when we think about affordability on acquiring customers, it's really about, you know, your level of effort in getting the sale. And so when you don't have a lot of budget, you have to have a high level of effort in order to get the customer, right? Again, you don't have a lot of money, you have to have a high level of effort. Some people, they don't have a lot of money, and then they think they should just acquire customers for not a lot of money that they have. So when we think about cost per acquisition, whenever you go, whether you are raising for funding, whether you are a small business owner, whether you're bootstrapping, CPA or cost per acquisition is the number one thing that people look at to see if you're a successful business. Are you projecting on the right path? And so how much does it cost you to acquire a lead? How much does it cost you to acquire a customer? How much does it cost you to acquire a recurring customer? So that's what CPA stands for, you know, cost per acquisition. What is the cost it takes you in order to acquire to acquire a customer? So essentially, when you're running a business, there's two most important things that every business has. They know how to get leads, people interested in their business, by collecting email addresses, phone numbers, et cetera. And they know how to close and make sales. And so there's cost per lead, which is also an acquisition. And then there's cost per acquisition, which is also a sale. Right. Hopefully that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Break that down as digestible as possible.
Okay. Yes, that makes sense. So let's answer. Let's see. Okay. So I'm going to ask a question that's going to lead into this question the person is asking. So let's talk about target audience. Now, whether you're in Facebook or not, or use ads or not, as an entrepreneur, you should know your target audience. So let's talk about that. How early on, how did you learn that? How did you get into that to really like, okay, this is my audience? Or, hey, I didn't even know what target audience was, and this threw me into it.
Yeah, so when I first started a business, and for those of you that are tuning in, I did go to, you know, school. I went to college. But in college, I didn't really learn any of this. So I want you to understand, like, I'm not like, I didn't learn all this from college. I learned this from experience. So one of my first real businesses was I was selling T-shirts. And selling that T-shirt, even though it was just T-shirts, it taught me so much about the fundamentals of business. And the first thing was customers. And so the way I started identifying, because I didn't have the word for it. I didn't know it meant, you know, this is my customer profile. I didn't have the word for it. So what I would do was I said, okay, I want to sell these T-shirts. I'm going to go set up a table, a booth, and I'm going to vend. I'm going to sell these shirts. And what happened was there were people coming to my table, white, black, you know, it doesn't really matter. But I was understanding at the end of every day when I would go out there, set up these tables, okay, what was the commonality of the people that came to the table? Okay, they were between 25 to 35 this week. Okay, they were, you know, women. Okay, they also like these things because as I'm talking to them, as they're at my table, they're talking about TV shows and their commonalities in them. So I said, wait a second. if these are the commonalities, I need to find where they all hang out at. That's where I need to go. And so that was my early on understanding, hey, this is a customer profile. Again, I didn't have the words for it. I just knew that something is going on here and I'm making most of my sales from these group of people. And so when you think about customer profile, you're thinking about what's the common characteristics amongst a group of people that are interested in buying or having conversations around your product or your service. And so that's where I started. Once I understood that, I said, okay, here were the things they were saying. They were talking about specific TV shows. They were talking about specific places they shopped at, places they hung out at, music they listened to. And I said, well, if I'm trying to advertise online, if I'm trying to market online, I need to take the things that they're talking about offline and bring it online. And so in the beginning, I actually had to talk to my customers. That was my competitive advantage because most people think they know their customers, right? Most people think they know their customers, but when you look at their data of the people that are visiting their website or the people that are purchasing from them, they realize it doesn't match up to who they thought. That's the biggest mistake. And so they don't adjust. They keep trying to sell to the people they think is going to want their product. Fast forward later on, I would start another business teaching people how to run ads. And so I thought that, okay, the people that are going to be interested in learning how to run ads are people 18 through 25, the young folks. So I launched this business called Power Your Launch Marketing Accelerator. Some of y'all might know it. And if I would have started the business and narrowed my audience down right away and say, you know what, I'm just going to target people 18 through 25, I would have went out of business. And here's what I mean. When I started that business thinking that my audience was 18 through 25, I started running marketing campaigns and I left the audience broad. I said, you know what, let's just leave it 18 to 65. And guess what happened? I realized who I thought was my audience and who was actually my audience were two completely different groups of people.
Right.
My biggest audience is 50 and up. My fourth biggest audience is 18 through 25. So imagine if I came in thinking that, okay, I'm only going to serve 18 through 25 year olds, I would have left millions on the table. And so I cater to, okay, 50 and plus, that's who I'm catering to. And then I work my way down. But again, I had to talk to my customers. I had to understand who they actually were, not who I thought they were through an exercise. That makes sense.
Yes. So I heard you basically say, we can assume ourselves out of a sale.
Exactly.
Like you thought one thing and it's like, actually these people actually want to send money. And then the people you were targeting probably like, I don't even want that. And you're like, what? Why not? It's digital. You like this. You're young.
Right. That makes exactly a lot of sense. What I thought. Yeah.
Yes. All right. So this question here, what is the best targeting practice for high ticket coaches? Ooh.
Yeah, so this is a really great question. So when we think about high-ticket coaching, here's another thing I want you to think about. So originally, I said if you have a low budget, you need a high level of effort. Mm-hmm. If you have a high price point, you also need a high level of effort. Because you have to realize on social media, when people don't actually know about your business or who you are, they need more additional touch points, especially if the price point is high. When you are selling something that's less than $20, less than $10, people aren't really thinking about it. They're buying on impulse. They're saying, okay, oh, it's $20, $10. But when you're charging $20,000, $10,000, that's completely different. And so they need additional touch points. Sometimes it's just as simple as getting on the phone with you. So for those people who are high ticket coaches, I think, personal opinion, anything over $5,000 or $4,000, it has to have a touch point of the phone. It just has to have a touch point of getting on the phone. Anything under that are coaches, you need additional touch points. You may need to do a webinar. You may need to do a follow-up encore. You may need so it needs additional touch points. Anything below like 500, you could probably run without getting on the phone with people, right? Or without this high level of effort. And so you have to put in the effort. I don't know anyone that's selling $20,000 that's a coach that's not putting in any effort. I just don't know. like, think about it. Like, it's just so much harder. I wouldn't personally spend $20K on nobody I'm not talking to on the phone.
Yeah, they don't even know it's real. Like,
exactly. You have to be willing to get on the phone. And this leads me to my other point in business. I don't care if you're the CEO. You can't be above nobody, right? You can't be above getting on the phone and closing the sale. Because at the end of the day, if that sale you closed took an hour and you made $20,000 an hour, you tell me a job in the world where you could get paid $20,000 for an hour. And it's not that many. In fact, it's probably really not that many. It's probably narrow, unless you're like, you know, in the sports arena, NBA, NFL, or Floyd Mayweather or something like that. You're not getting $20,000 an hour.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Someone said, like, a free consultation.
Yeah, you could do a free consult. You could also, again, it really depends the steps you have in order to close. You could also do a paid consult. And if they do decide to enroll, you could count that paid consult as a discount off of their main program that they're enrolling for you. So there's many ways to go about it.
Got you. All right. So this is a question I know you get, but I really wanted to address it. Why do people think Facebook ads don't work?
Yo, like, it's funny. I used to get so mad being asked this question of, like, you know, when people would always tell me Facebook ads don't work based on their own experience. And it's really based on their own limitations. Mm-hmm. I remember even once, and literally I used to get so upset with this question. I remember like 2 years ago, I posted my results and I spent like maybe like $17 and made like $7,000, something crazy. And this woman commented on my post and said, "This ain't real, y'all. This is fake." And I'm just like, "No, this worked for me." And she's like, "Well, he's lying. Like, I tried it. It doesn't work for me." And I'm like, "Well, I can't speak on your limitations of where you're at personally." And she got so offended. And I'm like, "You can't call me out on my post. And I'm literally showing you what worked for me." The other thing is, if Facebook ads didn't work, one, I wouldn't be living the lifestyle I am. I'll tell you that right now, because I was working in corporate. I did the Big Four consulting. I worked over on Wall Street. Like, the only reason I got out is because I used Facebook ads to let me out, right? I found a different avenue that was able to generate me a lot more money than what I was making my 9-to-5. Yes. And so Facebook ads do work. Now, they don't always work on the first try. They may not work on the second try. It's something you really have to stick with. It's a business strategy. It's not a one-time thing. And so I think the people that got frustrated, they tried a few times, and it's not really a strategy in their business. So therefore, they give up really easily because they're not seeing the ROI that they want. It's something you really have to stick with, right? Something you really have to stick with in order to see results over time. Now, you may find someone run Facebook ads the first time and make results. But you can't compare yourself to somebody else right away and say, "Wait a second, it worked for them right away. Why isn't it working for me right away?" It's just something you have to stick with. And then the last point is, just in totality, Facebook's biggest revenue stream is advertisement.
Right.
And so if it didn't work, like, Facebook wouldn't be around because these platforms wouldn't be free. And so, yeah, so they definitely work. But for those who don't think it works, actually like less competition. So you can continue, keep thinking like it doesn't work. Like, it don't bother me. It don't bother me.
Thank you for joining us at the Powered AF podcast. Make sure to visit our website and make sure to follow our podcast anywhere you listen to the podcast to make sure you never miss a show. And please, 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 if you enjoyed this episode and this show, please make sure to leave us a review. It really, really does help. And last thing, if you're interested in this freebie that I just released, I want you to check this out. Recently, I put together a free online training on how to 10x your sales online. This is for business owners who are struggling with making consistent sales online. Whether you run a product or service-based business, this is the perfect training for you. The free training is still up, and you can access it by going to poweryourlaunch.com/pod. Again, poweryourlaunch.com/pod. That's P-O-D. All right. Thanks again for listening in. I'll see you during our next show.